That is new Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel, hired away from the University of Central Florida. As we get the Blaine and Mickey program going today, we didn't want to cut out of any of the opening statements of the director of athletics or the head coach. We wanted you to hear those. So here we are, Blaine Bishop. As we've already heard from the head coach, we heard from the man who hired him not once but twice in 3 years. Josh Heupel and Danny White speaking. Here's the thing. David Reed is rolling on the questions and answers. Certainly, if things pop up, we can roll those. But we want to get your opinion. We want to get the phone lines loaded. Not only have you heard the news, you've had a half a day to think about it, or really some of you started to think this is going to be a reality last night. And now you've heard from the coach and the AD. We want to get your thoughts. Phone lines are wide open, 615-737-1045. But, Blaine, here we are, man. The coach has been named. Took him a little while to get started with the presser. But it's all official now.
Yeah, no doubt about it, which led into the beginning of our show, unfortunately. But it's a great time. It's an exciting time. Whenever something's new, you go in a new direction, everybody's excited and refreshed and re-energized. And that's how, you know, he sounded. And he sounded like, you know, the things that were important were aligned in his vision with the upper, you know, I guess, management of the university, let alone the athletic director and now himself. So I think the familiarity with him and when he's going through all the interview candidates, he kept probably coming back to comparing him to Josh Heupel. And he kept on saying, he's the guy, he's the guy, he's the guy. So one of the things he said was important is brotherhood, naturally, and connection, accountability, love for all the players. And then lastly is recruiting, which a lot of people say that's kind of his weak link is, but he's still one where he's at. You know, and then make sure you secure your borders here in Tennessee and don't let all those elite players out. So I thought, you know, it was, you know, what you expect from a presser, you know, all the things that you want to hear, you're going to hear. Now it's about the actions. So you want to see what his plan that he wants to have put in place. I'd love to hear that. I don't know if he would even give us that about, you know, what the expectations are in his first year and then building in year two, three, and moving forward. So, yeah, I mean, where Tennessee is at right now, I think this is probably their best bet, unless you were going to go with, you know, some other guys that were fired that were available, or did you want to start anew and they connected and aligned on the same page as the athletic director? And everybody all knows that you always, you know, want to be connected with someone you know if you're going to hire them and your job is on the line. So, yeah.
Well, again, we're here today to get your reaction. We're going to be on until 3 o'clock. Mike Wilson is going to join us. He's at the press conference now covering it. John Bryce and Football Scoop have been all over this story as it's unfolded. We'll hear from John Bryce at 2:15. Supposed to get Mike Wilson on right around 1:15 once the presser finishes and everything gets resolved. But again, we'll give our thoughts. We want to hear from you. Phone lines open 615-737-1045. This is Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Press conference still in progress. Josh Heupel answering questions from the Knoxville media. Let's go back to Knoxville to the introductory press conference for new Tennessee Volunteers head coach Josh Heupel.
We'll come back to the room here, to the middle, and Brent.
Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. Two questions. What did you learn in the 2 years at Missouri about the SEC and kind of how you have to play football here? Is it any different than at UCF or anywhere else? And two, how do you feel like you've grown the last 3 years the most as a head coach, CEO, leader of a program beyond just being a play caller?
Yeah, I think your communication skills and how clear your communication has to be, not with your football coaches, but with every support staff group that interacts with your players to give them the best opportunity to be successful. I think that's the number one thing as I've looked back on the last 3 years that I'm in a better place today than I was before. Your initial question was
just what you learned in your first stint in the SEC about maybe playing
in
this
league. I think the line of scrimmage in this league is different than it is in other leagues, right? So you got to do a great job of recruiting, developing those guys. That size, strength matters up front. You got to do a great job. You're going to face elite pass rushers in this league, and so you got to do a great job of protecting your quarterback as well, just from an offensive standpoint. But I think the line of scrimmage is the biggest difference.
The coach is far right, Trey.
Trey Wallace, Fox Sports, Knoxville. your relationship with Danny and the years that you've spent with him, was there ever a thought process in your mind that when he took the job here, maybe somehow you ended up in Knoxville? And what have you learned from Danny and y'all's relationship over the last 3 years that you think you can bring here to Knoxville to better this institution?
Yeah, when Danny got the job, I was disappointed that he wasn't going to be there anymore. We had a conversation after it went public and wished him well, and that was really the end of that conversation. Didn't think about this opportunity in that way. I think as a football coach, you're typically just living in the environment that you're in. You're so encapsulated in that. That's your sole focus that you don't think outside of those things. I think for Danny and I, there's for me, and I don't want to speak for him, but there's great comfort in coming here and knowing exactly what you're getting out of the leader that you deal with the most. There's a clear vision of what he wants for the student-athlete experience, which is extremely important, and a clear vision of what he wants as an athletic department as a whole. And there's a lot of entities inside of our program here that are doing extremely well. You look at our basketball programs. It's my job to make sure that we're getting this built to the level where we can go chase championships every year, too.
Up front here to Rick.
Trey kind of asked the same question I was going to ask, but first of all, welcome to town and to you and your family. And Rick Russo, by the way, WVLT News. But, yeah, is there a sense of comfortability for you knowing that Danny is here? And the big vision for you, for UT football, sustained success. Talk about that and how important that is to you.
Yeah, we had a conversation. What are we looking for and how are we trying to build this? And it's a long-term vision, right? I believe that we can have immediate success as well. We got really good players inside of that locker room. You know, I've watched a little bit of tape or I've seen them in recruiting. There's good players in there. It's our job as a coaching staff to get them ready to go play their absolute best and go compete every Saturday. But at the same time, there's a long-term vision of what we're trying to build here for sustainable success and a clear vision of how we're trying to do that.
One more question in the room here, and then we'll go back virtually. David.
Hey, Coach. David Shealy with WBIR. Danny talked about how you're a great developer of young quarterbacks. What qualities does a quarterback need to have to be successful in your system?
We've had different guys play with a different skill set. we've had, just going back through my tenure, we've had guys that were pure pocket guys to guys that have been able to use their feet in the run game, in designed runs, or reading pressures off the edge. Use their feet as a weapon in scrambles, and we've had guys that have fallen somewhere in between. We've had 6'3" guys, and we've had 5'10" the last couple of years at UCF. It's about the makeup and the guy inside as much as it is anything. How competitive are they? I think that's extremely important. It drives them every day. What is their ability to react and respond to adverse situations? Can they wipe the slate clean from the previous play? Can they handle all the noise and all the pressure that's going on around them, not just on game day, but in everyday life as they walk through campus? Can they meet the expectations and the work habits that you have to have? So all of those little things add up to a guy playing at a championship level at that position. And if you're going to chase championships, you better have a championship quarterback.
Back to the screen in the back, David Pascal.
Josh, congratulations. David Pascal down here at Chattanooga Times Free Press. For those of us that obviously didn't follow you every day at UCF, you look at that 28-8 record. I know you were 22-4 those first 2 years and 6-4 this past year. There were obviously external factors that everybody had to deal with in college football, but why did this last team not quite have that resounding success that your first two teams did?
Yeah, all of our games except for one loss were one-possession games, really tight ball games. This past year, and everybody in America was dealing with it. COVID was a unique situation unto itself, and how you brought your football team back, what were their workouts while they were away from you, when did you actually get your entire team back, what did your practice habits look like. For us, we didn't meet until the fourth game of the season, I think, as far as being in a full team meeting that wasn't virtual. We lost some close ones, I think you look at the beginning of the season, I think we had close to 10 opt-outs, and all those came because of different reasons and different challenges that they faced in their backgrounds. You know, some of them might be a parent that was ill. Some of them had young children. Just different backgrounds. And as the season wore on, I thought we got thinner as a football team and lost a couple of close ones to some good football teams.
Two more questions for Coach. We'll go to Austin Price.
Coach Austin Price, FallQuest.com. Every coach that's sit up here in the last 12 years or so, every time they've had a coaching change, has talked about closing the borders. How important is it more so just to make sure Tennessee's a focus more so? Because, I mean, kids are going to leave the state, and it's impossible to sign up 25 kids from one state. So how important is it just more make this a focus than it is necessarily close the borders? And then, two, how much will you reach out as an alum of Oklahoma? How much will you reach out to the alums of Tennessee, the former football players that you may know through crossing paths with over the years, to make sure they feel like, hey, you guys are always welcome here. The door is always open to come to practice, to come do all those kind of things.
If you play football here, you're welcome back here. I don't care if that's spring practice. I don't care if it's observing a workout. I want you guys around. I want them around our football program. It's important to me. I hope, when we get back to having spring games, I'm assuming that there's an event that surrounds that weekend, for former players that a golfing outing, coming to the game. I want guys here, guys that are currently playing. Hopefully they come back and they're working out here during the off season. Those are all things that I think are important. They give back to the players that are here, so hopefully that does happen. Will I reach out to them? Absolutely. Your first question was the recruiting question, right, on closing the borders?
Yeah. That's even a big focus.
Yeah, I didn't know that everyone had sat up here and said close the borders, but I do believe, I'd like to close the borders, right, not let any of them out. Is it going to be a focus? It absolutely will be a focus for us. That's the challenge for myself, for our coaching staff, to make contact with those guys and make sure they understand the importance that they have inside of our program and the opportunity that they have inside of our program too. Today being day one for me, right, giving them a clear vision of what we anticipate this looking like when you're here.
One more question for Coach Wes Rucker.
Hey, Josh, I know that, the Tennessee program historically, I think maybe one of the 10 or so winningest programs in major college history, but hadn't, for maybe 12, 13 years now, hadn't been a consistent winner. Did you have to maybe call some colleagues, some friends across the country to make sure that they still believed you could win big at a place like this, or was that not a factor in your mind?
I think all the elements to win here are here. You are the biggest show, right? You walk out in that stadium and there's 100,000+ fans inside the stadium. Your facilities are as good as there are in the entire country. You're going to get a world-class education. So a lot of the infrastructure that you need to be successful is absolutely here. Now it's about putting the right people in place to reach our young people so that we can have sustainable success here. And I certainly believe that. Having competed against them in the past, having watched them from afar, having talked to coaches that have been inside of this program in recent history.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Josh Heupel wrapping things up, meeting Tennessee media in Knoxville. Again, Danny White hiring Josh Heupel. The news starting to, as he said, he really hadn't been, I think he said he'd had two coaching search leaks, Blaine, in his career, all the times he'd looked for coaches, talking about Danny White. That news started to break last night that it was Josh Heupel. It was interesting for me because we heard we'd get some names, maybe that he was good at leaving smoke screens, Danny White, and Chris Lowe had told 3HL, there were some names he was hearing, but looked for a name maybe that was off the beaten path as well. But after all the talk, after all the speculation and plane tracking and everything else, Danny White goes with a guy that he knows well. And if you look at Josh Heupel's resume, he's been a head coach and he's won games that just got discussed a lot. He's had really explosive offenses at multiple schools. He does have SEC experience from his time at Missouri. He would take the job, which there were others. And let me clarify one thing. Danny White said they made one offer, and that was the offer. They made one offer in the search. Well, that's what the search firm does. They get yeses or nos, and then you make one offer. So there are a lot of people. So don't confuse that. The search firm does that. They go out and get all the potential nos and all the potential yeses, and then you pick somebody amongst the yeses. And the other word that came up, Blaine, and this is something we talked about when Danny White got introduced, and this was something that he talked about, was integrity. And obviously he saw that in Josh Heupel enough not only to hire him once, but to hire him twice.
Well, you know, when you hear all those things, those are all the things that you want to hear. And he checks the boxes, you know, offensive-minded, the offense fell behind. Developing quarterbacks, huge issue, as we all know. Was a head coach with experience, which I was. That was, you know, all these things are everybody else's checklist. And then, you know, someone that was close to the AD, and he knew exactly what he was bringing to the table. So all those things kind of connect the dots. And every time he's probably interviewing, you know, candidates, he's trying to roll back around and say, okay, is this guy as good as Josh Heupel? And when you start doing that, then Josh Heupel becomes your guy. And I'm sure he didn't want to, and you could hear it in Josh's, conversation, is that when they, you know, when he left, he was like, oh, dang, this is tough sledding and wish he was staying, but you got to go. And that was it. He never probably thought that, oh, man, I may be coaching at Tennessee. And so he went with someone he trusts and knows exactly what he's going to get. And I think, Danny White is a no-nonsense guy. All the people I keep talking to says, he's one side or the other. There's no in between Danny White. And he always keeps his coaches, and football coaches, that is, in check, because they're the one bringing in the big revenue at these big universities, and they're the ones having the big check. But he says, don't forget, Danny White is under full control. So he got someone he trusted, and hopefully it all works out. So we shall see. It's exciting, though, you know, just to see what it looks like on the field. I mentioned to see he had a real success at Missouri for that 1 year as offensive coordinator, right? But, okay, after that first year, I wish he would have come back one more year just to see if they would have made adjustments to his offensive style. Because I think he can work initially, but how long can he sustain that kind of offensive firepower with the SEC guys? And then are his offensive linemen going to have to lose a whole bunch of weight with all the up-tempo, no huddle, type of offense? There's a lot of things, you know, some recruits are going to look into and be like, you know what, that's not the NFL. Some of the things, and it's going to work, you know, in college, but for how long in the SEC? Hopefully it works for a long time in the SEC East. So we shall see. He develops quarterbacks, so I think he's got three good quarterbacks that he can kind of, they're all a little bit different, but yet the same. So they can all fit into this offense, as he talked about. I think that was key, that he's had drop back quarterback, pocket passers, to guys who move around, to the in between. So he's got all three of those with Hooker, Bailey, and Salter, who's coming in there. So from Texas. So it's going to be a nice little battle, and see who develops the fastest and get them on the field. And guys better put on their track shoes, especially the receivers and DBs on defense. Man, they're going to be moving all day long at practice.
Look, if you're a kid playing offense, wouldn't this excite you? If you look at a guy who comes in here, UCF, averaged 43 points per game from 2018 to 2020, the 3 years that Josh Heupel was there, that's fifth best in the country. They're the only team in the FBS to finish top five in total offense over the last 3 years. And the Vols, I looked last year, they were 102nd in the country in total offense, 346 yards. They were 108th in the country. I think both of those numbers were 11th in the SEC. I want to say we talked about this last week, at 21.5 points. So you've got a guy who averaged 43 points plus, and I think almost 600 yards per game in total offense last year at UCF. If you're an offensive guy, you got to be excited about this. Now, one thing, and you know this because you went to the Oilers in the NFL, and what offense did they run?
Run and shoot. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes those possessions last, what, like 37 seconds of clock time? And then you got to get up and get yourself back out there. So you got to find the right defensive guy too, right, to coexist with the quick offense. Because when you go super fast, that means sometimes you have a super fast three and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that will be key. He didn't allude to who he was keeping or hiring as a defensive coordinator, because you must have the same philosophy in that to maintain that track meet that you're having on offense. You have to counter that with your defensive scheme. So I'm interested to see if the staff stays that's there with Kevin Steele and some of the leftovers from Pruitt on the defensive side, let alone even on the offensive guys with T. Martin, Jay Graham, and some guys, you know, evolves for life, you know, guys, you know, will they stay? So, and how many people will he bring with him that, you know, are connected dots with people who've worked with him before? Or is he a one-man show? All I need is me. I could teach everything else. So, right. You know, I'm interested to see if someone asks him that question here down the road because, you know, Kevin Steele and Ansley and some other guys on staff defensively that were not part of the, you know, I guess the infractions there with the NCAA, you know, are good people and should get caught up in, you know, the mess of the NCAA. So we shall see how quickly his staff comes together, whether he hires outside or keeping some of the guys inside. So that's, you know, who has a good beat on, you know, the kids that they recruited and that are there and know them better than anybody.
Right. You mentioned his quarterbacks that he's worked with, and he talked about working with different kind of guys. And as you pointed out, you're going to take on a room full of quarterbacks at Tennessee that have different attributes than each other. So a kind of varied group. Dylan Gabriel at UCF, his most recent quarterback, set the record for freshman passing yards at UCF, almost 3,700 yards. Mackenzie Milton, who was a young man that had his knee just devastated. He's been going through some stuff in the college ranks, almost similar to what Alex Smith has gone through in the pro ranks. It's an unbelievable story. This young man, he finally transferred out of the program after he tried to come back. He was the AAC Offensive Player of the Year. Drew Locke at Missouri set the SEC single season touchdown passing record with 44 under Heupel's tutelage. Landry Jones was the Sammy Ball Award winner, was number 3 in the NCAA in career passing yards and number 5 in career TD passes. Sam Bradford won the 08 Heisman Trophy. Jason White won the 03 Heisman Trophy. So if you look at his quarterback track record.
Oh, yeah. Is there?
Oh, my gosh. I mean.
And oh, by the way, you just said guys. He was a Heisman runner-up there. Guess who won it that year? Everyone who wants to get rid of him, Chris Winkie. Right? Yeah. So I bet he's still on the staff because they probably built a relationship that day and kept it going for all this time. So and then all of a sudden, he's going to look like a great quarterback coach. All of a sudden, watch. Isn't that hilarious? So it'll be interesting to see who he keeps and doesn't and kind of keeps it moving because sometimes coaches just kind of want to get their guys because they know how to, you know, run a program the way they want to. So, you know, I think that's always interesting, intriguing because, you know, it's like almost like you're already the bad seed, even though you had nothing to do with anything that was going on as far as the violation with the NCAA. So. Yeah, I think everybody should be excited, especially offensive guys. Woo-wee, man, throwing around the yard, setting records all over the place. See if you can do that in the SEC. He already did it once for 1 year at Mizzou. And by the way, wasn't he the coordinator that ousted my man, yo man, Mr. Arkansas State, Butch Jones? Yeah. I think in 2017, he was the guy the last game they played who put up the big numbers, and they said, bye-bye, Birdie.
Bye-bye, Butchie. Butch, please. I got it right this time. A couple times I've slipped up. That was one of them. Accidentally. I didn't say Butch by accident.
No, that's what you say. You said Butch.
I did say Butch as time goes by. Listen, phone lines open, 615-737-1045. We also asked a question on Blaine and Mickey's Twitter. Vol fans, how are you feeling about Coach Heupel as your new head football coach? Well, we'll read some of those responses. We can also hit the phones if you're ready to sound off. 615-737-1045. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Oh, Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. When you call, we get to you. 615-737-1045. We got Brian on the line who will lead us off first. Brian, thanks for checking in.
Hey, Mickey and Blaine, as a Tennessee fan, I want to be excited about the hire. I'm not really sure that I am. But when you were talking about Josh's offense and defense needing to be very fast on the field, two players came to mind, which would be Eric Gray and Toa Toa. Have they already found new homes, or are they still available to be added to the team?
Yes, from my knowledge, they have not withdrawn from the school, and they are still eligible to still play at Tennessee. So they are going to have to re-recruit them back in, and they might have entered the portal just to see who they hire and what direction it goes. So not so sure. Man, Gray would be perfect for this system, if anybody. You don't know where you're at with the defensive staff yet, if they're going to keep some of those guys or not. So Toa, I don't know where he would be, but Eric Gray probably could put up over 1,000 yards rushing as well as maybe 700 yards receiving. I mean, if you look at how this offense works, he would be incredible. He'd be incredible in any system, but this would highlight a lot of what he does really well.
Saw one of the 24/7 guys who tweeted yesterday, Eric Gray, he said, is likely going to choose between Oklahoma and Texas. But that doesn't mean that he can't.
Right.
That doesn't mean he didn't hear everything that God said today. That doesn't mean that Josh Heupel can't call him right now and say, let me tell you, here's what you look like in my offense. Those things can absolutely happen. And he could absolutely decide to come back or not. Let's get Brandon in next. Brandon, appreciate you calling the Blaine and Mickey show. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. You know, lifelong Tennessee fan, I want nothing more than to be excited, just like everybody else. But, you know, before we had a coach, I was excited about A.D. White. I got on board with that. I feel like he's well-regarded. And, you know, we don't know the ins and outs of this process, what was attempted, what failed, what wasn't attempted. We just don't know. So I'm willing to give him a chance. He went with the guy he knows, the guy he spent a lot of time with, obviously a guy that he probably trusts. So we don't know what the next few years looks like, but let's be optimistic about it here and just ride the wave.
Brendan, I appreciate that. I appreciate the perspective. It's interesting, Blaine. Last night, this was getting killed by people. I mean, people were just killing this as a potential hire.
Because it's not a big name. I mean, people need a flash name. I don't care about the big name. I really don't too much really, you know, care about this press conference because now the work just begins. Let's see you with your product on the field. Now you have time. There are no excuses. You get to go through spring ball, teaching all the in and out, learn your players what they can and can't do, and then move forward and start recruiting. So then you get to see what he actually can do. You know, there's some guys that you never would expect has done really well, and some guys that's not highly regarded and don't do so well, and some that do. So we shall see. The proof's in the pudding. We'll get to see now. And this is a guy that Danny White chose twice now, as a head coach.
He did.
Whether how we got here, as far as his interviewing process and who really wasn't interested and who was, and, you know, they're going through NCAA, you know, sanctions, you know, still holding out there and nobody knows what's going to go on with that. Maybe the options were limited and that brought him back to Josh Heupel. However it is, if they win, who cares? And we don't know. We shall see. But, hey, you got to support him. Got to.
Got Danny who wants to check in next. Danny, we appreciate your phone call on Blaine and Mickey, 615-737-1045. Hey, Danny.
Hey, guys. I really appreciate you letting me give my two cents on the subject.
Thank you.
I couldn't be happier with what I've heard over the past 4 and 5 days from Danny White and now from our new head coach. I mean, when you talk about people being upset that we didn't get a big-name head coach, I can't think of anybody with a name big enough to overcome this resume. When you're talking about one of the top two offenses in the country over the past couple of years, this is the shot in the arm that Tennessee football needs. And I'm just excited as can be. I mean, daggum, I wish the season was starting now because the fact that we're going to listen to what players want, the more socially minded players that are trying to decide between schools know that, you know, these kids know their worth to universities nowadays. And the fact that they're going to be heard by this coach and this athletic director and their opinions are going to matter is going to mean the world to them. And we're going to get that much higher caliber human beings, not just football players, but human beings. And I think it's exactly what we need. I think everyone should be really optimistic and excited for what the future holds. We might have a tough couple years ahead, but dadgum, I'm excited, guys.
Mm-hmm. Danny, I appreciate the phone call. I asked this question on Twitter, on the Blaine and Mickey Twitter account. And Blaine, and there's a lot of people, like there's at TN Racers Elite One said, I love the hire. Scott said, looking at it without orange colored glasses, I like the hire. Plus his offense scores a ton of points. The fan base needs to realize it's going to take work to get us back where we want to be. And then there are others who feel differently. James on Twitter said, it's a massive reach. He'll never be able to recruit in the SEC against these juggernaut programs. I feel like this hire was made before the search even started. Hugh Freeze would have been a brilliant move, and he wanted the job. I'm done with the Vols.
So, yeah, well, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. Yeah, you know, and time to opinion, and we shall see. You know, hey, maybe he wanted to go with someone he knew in his relationship, and Hugh Freeze is kind of in the same mode of, you know, you throw it around the yard and put up a lot of points. So he felt like he got the best of both worlds of someone he knew. And it wasn't, you know, part of the, you know, SEC brand, someone from outside. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not. I'm interested to see how well the first year head coaches all do. Now there's three, correct? With the South Carolina and Beamer, as well as Vanderbilt.
Carson and Auburn.
Yeah. Carson is four. Yeah, Carson and Auburn, Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. I know you weren't counting them, but that they do count, even though they're private school there in the SEC. And now UT. So how do all those guys transition as head coach, and who does it the fastest? Mm-hmm. So we'll be watching all those programs because they all start. They at the starting line at the same time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So who has success the fastest?
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch. But here's the thing. Whether you like the guy, whether you don't like the guy, whether you're big excited, big optimistic, or whether you're big mad, the dude is signed, sealed, and delivered. And they're going to have spring practice pretty soon. And that guy's the coach. So mm-hmm. So it is happening, whatever it is.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we go to break, one thing I want to know, how does he handle adversity once the – you know, the fan base goes at him because he made a bad call or, you know, whatever it may be, or they lost a game they should have won or they didn't play well. How does he handle the media in the SEC? Because, you know, you weren't with the big boys. You're in a group of five. Now you're with the big boys and the media comes at you and asks you, and you got to answer those questions.
Yeah, this is the biggest of stages, that's for sure, in college football. Got to play Alabama, you got to play Georgia, you got to play Florida. You got a big task ahead of you.
You can't get beat by 30 and say we're closing the gap. Do not do that.
You get beat by 30 too much, you'll be working at the gap. 104.5 is off.